Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we'll have our telephone lines open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless, use the program for your glory, Lord. Again, help us, Lord, to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight. And we just thank you again and just ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and it's been a busy week this past week, and we were out at the Summit County Fair here in northeastern Ohio where we're at, and had this past week being out there, got to see a number of people who listened to the program, had several people stop by, and we also had several people that stopped by that were interested in hearing about the program and said they hoped to listen. So hopefully we have some new listeners tonight that we met out at the fair this past week. And I'll talk about that a little bit more here in a moment, but just a reminder, my name is Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we certainly invite you to visit us there if you're ever in the area here in northeastern Ohio. We're right midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, which is the Ohio Turnpike, are right where they cross. That's right where we're at. You can actually see the entry ramp or the toll booth for the turnpike right outside of the window of the room that we meet in. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And like I said, that's Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland here. Also wanted to mention too, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can go there and take a look at it. You can listen to some of the past programs there, and there's some other materials that are on there, some articles that I've written over the years, and some links to a couple of books that I have there. And let's see, there's a couple, at least three books, I guess, that I put together a couple of years ago, and so you can... you can look that up, livewithpastoral.com. Also has links to our home church page and to our Facebook page. And that's what I want to mention as well. If you're on Facebook, you can find us. Just look at Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And the reason I mentioned that as well is because in addition to being on the air live right now, we are also on Facebook live right now. And we're hopefully slowly working the bugs out of that. And I'm hoping that the volume is good there tonight, and we'll continue to work on that. We're trying to do what we can to basically get the sound quality working a little bit better here. And over time, we've been expanding that. But you can find us on, like I said, Facebook, Live with Pastor Al. And if you go there right now, in fact, you can see us on there. In fact, I'm just trying to check here on my computer to make sure the stream is coming through. Kind of hard for me to check the volume while I'm on the air. That might be some interesting feedback issues, I guess. But let's see. We should be on there somewhere. I got to wait for my computer to load. It takes a little while. There we are. It looks like. No, I don't see us. Or do I see us? I'm sure we're there somewhere. And you know, I just realized, and it's a good thing I checked. You know why? I'm broadcasting on our church webpage, Facebook page, and I'm going to switch. I'm going to have that switched over here, and that was an accident on my part. I was wondering why it wasn't coming through. It's been a long week at the fair this week. In fact, what I did was I had broadcasted our church service this morning on the radio webpage. See, as the pastor of the church and also with the program and let's see here. Let me just give me a moment here just to cut over here and we'll get this going here. But yes, I have been operating on a kind of a sleep deficit here this past week and going out to the fair. I've been out there from about 10:30 in the morning. Well, actually about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Yeah, about 10:30 in the morning until about 10:30 at night. Pretty much every night this past week and trying to get different things done. And so if you'll forgive me, I messed up on which page to broadcast from. And I think we've got it going now. And we should be on our Facebook page now, live with Pastor Al at Facebook. And you can follow us there. Let's see here. Let me see. I'm going to scroll down here, wait for that to come through. And there it is. It helps when you do the right, you access the right page because our Facebook pages, I have the one for the church and I have the one for a radio program. And I just had to make sure I got the right ones there. So we seem to be there tonight and just get things adjusted around here a little bit. And hopefully we can get that set. There we go. So bear with me as I'm looking here, trying to move things about a little and to get us lined up there. Let's see. Well, as I said, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening. And there we go. I get that lined up the way I wanted to. But I wanted to mention a couple of things here. And of course, one of the things that we were doing at the fair, I wanted to touch on that a little bit. I haven't been following the news quite as much this past week as a consequence of being caught up for, basically all day and all night at the fair. But we were using a board that has a thing on it called Three Things God Cannot Do. And I've mentioned this on our radio program before. And we've got these neat little tracks that goes with it. And the board itself, I can't claim originality on that. There's a number of people in different ministries that use the board that says Three Things That God Cannot Do. And I just wanted to make a couple of observations on it. And let me just review it real quick here because I believe I've actually, a couple of weeks ago, I went through a little bit of this in detail, the three things God cannot do. And basically the three things that we have on the board, we have a board that has three doors. And under over top of it says three things God cannot do. When you open door number one, it says God cannot lie. And it's got Titus chapter 1, verse 2 there, where it says, God that cannot lie. And we've got the verse there for that. Door number 2 says, God cannot change. And of course, it's got a verse from Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And then the third one that we have on there is, God cannot allow sinners into heaven. And of course, that comes from John chapter 3, verse 3 there. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it talks about the necessity of the new birth. And we use that to get people's attention. And that's what I wanted to kind of talk on just for a few moments here this evening, rather than go through all the details on this, although we'll cover some of that as a review from what we've talked about in the past. But I'll have people that'll be standing on the other side of the midway there. They'll be looking, and I'll see them looking at me, and they'll just be sitting there kind of staring, and then they'll walk over, and they'll say, okay, oh, what does this have to say? Or they'll just look over there and they'll come close to it like they're almost afraid to open it. I said we ought to put underneath one of those doors. Remember those I can remember when I was a kid, you had these little prank things that you could get, little party tricks where you had like a little can and you open it up and it's like a snake jumps out. And I said, we should have had one of those under the door where you open the door and it jumps out. But they'll come over and say, now, okay, what is this? And I usually tell people, I said, well, I've accomplished one of my first goals. I've got you curious. I've got you wondering what's behind the door. And so as a consequence, when people come around and they start to look at that and they're curious, then they start to ask questions. And if you've been listening to our program for any length of time, you know, I encourage people to ask questions. And we do have people that call in with various questions from time to time. And I think that's a good thing. I think people learn when they ask questions. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old or somewhere in between, you learn when you ask questions. And so I tell people that, you know, I've accomplished a couple goals already because you came over and asked. You got curious. I want people to get curious, and I want people to ask questions. And then usually you'll get interesting reactions, whether it's an atheist or a committed Christian. You'll frequently get people who will say, well, I thought God's supposed to be able to do everything. You know, an atheist will say, well, I thought God's supposed to do everything. A Christian will say, well, God can do everything. There's nothing God can't do. And they'll talk to me, and I'll remind them, you know, say, hey, wait a minute. I'll tell them that what's behind door number one. I'll tell them that everybody you know can do what's behind door number one. You and I can do it, and everybody you know, everybody you see around us right now can do what's behind door number one. And, you know, it's to build the curiosity, of course. And then we open the door, it says, God cannot lie. And generally speaking, the first reaction I get from most people is, oh, that's right. And they'll usually smile. It's kind of funny because we had our booth was set up for our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And so we had a number of things set up there. You know, the name of our church, we have a banner across the back that advertises the radio program and different things. And we had all these things set up there. And I said, it's remarkable that when people look at this, they focus on what is said on here, this three things God cannot do. That's what they focus on. And they miss everything else that's around there. And so when you kind of focus on one thing, you miss everything else. And I said, you got all this stuff talking about Christianity around here. People come up and say, oh, you must be some kind of atheist group. We had a booth next to us. It was kind of humorous. There were a number of people staffing the booth during the week who were Catholic, and they just kind of avoided us. Not everybody. There were some people who were Catholic who came over and chatted quite a bit with us, and there were some people who weren't Catholic who came over and chatted quite a bit. But I mentioned that because there was this one Catholic couple that was over there, and another couple came up to that they knew, and they said, oh, we were looking for you, and they said, no, you have to be by that guy. And they pointed at us and kind of rolled their eyes, and they just seemed to think that we were atheists. They missed everything else with our booth. They just saw the things God cannot do. But when they would see that first one, Christians generally would smile at that point and say, oh, you're right, I didn't think of that. And of course, that's what I'm trying to get people to do. I'm trying to get them to think. And think about God and think about their relationship with God. And so generally speaking, even atheists would say, well, okay, yeah, that's what you believe. I understand that. I had one guy the other day who said, no, God lies to me every day. And I said, well, maybe you're listening to the wrong God. But we would get people's attention with that. And then, of course, the second door, God cannot change. And talking about God's nature, of course, and we know God sometimes changes things that he does and how he interacts with us in some areas. But the fundamental nature of God is he's not going to change. God is pure. God is holy. God is righteous. God cannot sin. And so he's not going to change in that respect. Otherwise, he would not be perfect. Somebody at church tonight was telling about how when they were there one night when I was not there, I think it was Friday night, there was a a Muslim couple that came up, a Muslim guy, I guess, came up, and he was saying, but God does lie. Well, and obviously, because he's reading the Quran, and in the Quran, Allah lies. But they were telling him, no, the God of the Bible does not lie. And so they made that distinction. And, you know, he had something to think about when he left there. And we did have several people. We had a number of Muslims that went by. You could tell by the way they were dressed. And they looked at it as they were going by, as I was explaining to other people. Some even stopped, listened for a few minutes. So, you know, you're planting seeds there. You never can tell what's going to come to fruition from that. But God cannot change, and he's not going to begin lying. He's not going to begin sinning. He's not going to violate his own laws, his own nature. And so he's not going to change in that fashion. And then people will generally accept that and say, I agree with that. That makes sense. But the door that seems to make the most people unhappy, upset, irritated, the door that most people disagree with is the final door that says God cannot allow sinners into heaven. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, it's probably because this is one of those things that begins to prick the bubble of righteousness that people surround themselves with. I might have done some things wrong, but I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as that guy over there. So I think my good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds. And they don't like that. They don't like to hear that God cannot allow sinners into heaven. He can't, because, you know, we've all failed and come short of the glory of God. We do not have his absolute perfection. The Bible says we can be as righteous as we want, but all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so we need to be changed. God is not going to change, so we need to be changed. But the problem is people try to change themselves. And when people try to change themselves, I was pointing out, I said, listen, if you could start right now and you could resolve, I will never sin again in my life. I will be perfect from this point on. And let's say that you're successful. Now, that's absolutely impossible, though I did meet a guy the other day who assured me quite humbly, I might add, several times loudly in my face, that he had not sinned in over 2 years. But most people will agree that it would be a daunting task to live without ever sinning, and we may come back to that point in a little bit. But what happens is that even if you could be perfect from this point on, I said, what about what you've already done? You know, if you had a glass that is dirty, and you say, well, I'm not going to drink the water that's in this glass because the glass is dirty. And so you pour the water out and you put fresh water in. Well, the glass is still dirty, and it's going to do something to the water as well. Most people aren't going to want to drink it. So we have that happening there. And, you know, we can't be perfect. We can't undo what we've already done. And so according to Romans chapter 3, God says that when you trust Christ as your Savior, he puts his righteousness on you. And when he puts his righteousness on you, God no longer sees your righteousness, which the Bible says is as filthy rags. Instead, he sees his own righteousness, because he's put that on you. And he has forgiven you of your sins, and he's justified you. It's just if you had died on the cross with Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you and paid for your sins, and you accept that. Jesus paid for your sins with his own blood. And when you accept the fact that, as the Bible says, the blood of Christ washes away our sin, cleanses us from sin, then Jesus' righteousness, God's righteousness, is on us. And as a consequence, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees his righteousness, and he can allow us into heaven. And of course, we know that we sin after we get saved. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. He said he did things which he knew he shouldn't do, didn't do things that he knew he should do. And then toward the end of the chapter, he lamented, who would deliver me from the body of this death, because of the sin nature that we have in us. And so we had a good time at the fair. We had a great time talking with people and being able to answer questions and doing what we do on the radio here, where we try to answer people's questions and point people to Christ and help people. I told people at the fair, I said, hey, you know, we know most people we see here are never going to visit us at our church, but we want to introduce people to Christ. We want people to know Christ as their Savior, know their sins are forgiven, and know that they have a home in heaven waiting for them. And we want to see people in heaven. And if people visit our church, that's a great thing. Most people listen to this radio program are never going to visit our church. We know that. We've experienced that. I mean, we've been on the radio for nearly 11 years, and you know, we've not had thousands of people, you know, clamoring to visit us at our church. But if we can encourage somebody in their walk with Christ, if we can help point somebody who's searching, somebody who's unsaved in the direction of Christ, that they can come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we're happy to be able to do that. We're excited to be able to do that because it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. The Bible says, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And we can only boast in Christ and what Christ has done for us. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The toll-free number is 888-677-9673. It's 888-677-9673. We'd love to have you give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we do have a caller here tonight that I believe wants to challenge on something here. So I believe we have Kevin calling in tonight. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Pastor L, how are you?
I am doing well.
I'm not challenging you, but your third one did kind of contradict the first one.
In what way?
Four ways. Because anybody that's in heaven is a sinner.
Well, let me pause for a minute there. That's an objection that comes up from time to time. And but when you get to heaven, your sins have been forgiven. And the sin nature that you have in the flesh, in fact, Paul talked about that right here in Romans chapter 7. Let me read it. He said in Romans 7, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Then he says this, now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And he says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's talking about the sin nature that's in the flesh. And the sin nature that's in the flesh that we all struggle with as believers, when we get saved, our spirit, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 5, we become a new creature in Christ. Our old dead spirit that is lost, our old spirit that is dead to Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our new spirit is made alive in Christ. It reacts, and the Lord speaks to us through his spirit, to our spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, bears witness to our spirit that we're his children. And so Paul then in Romans chapter 7 begins to say this. He says in verse 21, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That means in his flesh. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the flesh never changes. The flesh is still there, but the spirit is made alive in Christ. But we still have that flesh with its sin nature. And he says, continuing verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man, the spirit that's alive in Christ and delights after the law of God and longs after the things of God. And then he says in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And the members, that's the flesh, the body, where the sin nature is. And it's warring against the law of my mind. I believe that's the soul, your personality, your will, your intellect, your emotion. And that's the war that Paul talks about is going on. In your spirit, which is made alive in Christ, you're responding to the things of God, drawn to the things of God. But the flesh is drawn to the things of the world and rebels against the things of God. And so you're caught kind of like in the cartoons where they had would have the little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. The devil saying, oh, come on, you know you want to do it. The angel saying, no, 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 that wouldn't be right. You know you shouldn't. And the guy and the character, you know, he's looking back and forth. You can see their head going back and forth between the two, trying to listen to one or the other. And that's the war that he's talking about. And occasionally he would be taken captive so that he would be brought captive by sin. And he said, it bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he says this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, God is the one that's going to do that. When you die, this body of death with its sin nature goes into the ground. And when we're in heaven, we don't have this body. And then one day we're going to have a new body that doesn't have the sin nature. And Paul says this here at the end of Romans chapter 7, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He had to make the choice in order to serve the law of God. But with the flesh, he would serve the law of sin. And it's a battle that every Christian goes through. You know, that guy that assured me quite humbly several times, repeatedly, loudly in my face, that he had not sinned in over 2 years, he would not read this. He would not even look at this when I tried to point this out to him. Hey, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go, and we'll pick up on the next side, and we'll continue on. Thanks for listening. Join us again. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. But now, let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening. Just a reminder, brought to you tonight, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, as well as by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And of course, if you're down in Tampa, Florida tonight, you're probably not going to drive up here, and it might be a little hard for them to deliver down there, but we do mention it because if you're looking to start a pizza shop, or maybe you have a restaurant and you're looking for a great pizza that you can add to your lineup, you can give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And speak with Gus. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe. It's his own dough, his own dough recipe, his own sauce recipe. Really good. I didn't have any this past week. I was out at the fair. But hopefully this coming week, I'll be able to see him and enjoy one of his pizzas. But that's East Coast Pizza, and located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, and telephone 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program tonight. Got a number of people calling in, and let's see. I believe we've got Linda on waiting from the previous segment. And Linda, are you on there with us?
Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for waiting. Hi. Sorry to keep you waiting there.
It's okay. I enjoyed listening. And you know, I want to commend you because a lot of, well, I've been a Christian for many years, born again, but I was born into a Catholic family, and I was searching for the Lord for many years. And somehow people would say to me, Christians would say to me, well, Christ died for you. And somehow that didn't quite make sense to me because I thought, well, he died to show us what we should be like, you know,
right,
official and all that. But you always explain, you know, that the wages of sin is death, and that's what the missing part that finally I got, that there's a penalty for our sin, that mm-hmm. God has a penalty, a death penalty for our sin, and when Jesus died for us, he was taking the death penalty that we deserve. And that's the part that always eluded me
mm-hmm.
until someone finally explained that to me, and then I could really accept what Christ did for me. So I thank you that on your program, you always bring up that scripture in Romans, you know. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm calling because I have two questions. I love mm-hmm. to witness to people, and many of the people in my family are still Catholic. And when I talk to them about the Lord and about salvation, they bring up the topic of purgatory, and they say, well, you know, I can always be in purgatory for a while until I go to heaven. And evidently in their Bible, they have other books that explain about purgatory. And
right.
How do you approach them about that?
Basically, they added, and if I'm correct, I think it's something in either 1st or 2nd Maccabees. And that's one of the reasons they put some of these extra biblical books in, because the books that they include in the Old Testament in the Catholic Bible, they're books that the Jewish people never included in their canon of Scripture. They never accepted them as scriptural. And even the early church fathers never accepted them as scriptural either. And the Catholic Church actually added some of those books at a later time. You know, there's a false teaching out there that the Roman Catholic Church gave us the Bible, and they didn't. God gave us his word, and by the end of the first century, and certainly by early in the second century, the canon of Scripture was pretty well set out, and the Christians, this is before the Roman Catholic Church was organized, they were already accepting the 66 books of the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, and And later on, like you said, purgatory. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church, in their own words, formulated the doctrine of purgatory. And they did it in some of their councils, not based in Scripture. And then they changed certain Scripture's meanings in order to teach it. And one that I've seen used in the past is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Bible says that in verse number 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And that seems to indicate the fires of purgatory. And this is a good reason, you know, for having, you know, having people spend money to conduct masses to help, you know, light candles and everything to get people out of the fires of purgatory faster. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the old, remember the old Irish saying, you know, high money, high mass, low money, low mass, no money, no mass. Mm-hmm. When you put this in context here, he's talking about salvation. He says this in verse 11, verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another man buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the foundation. When we get saved, that foundation, Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, he is there. Now we're going to build our life upon our salvation experience. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we have that foundation, Jesus Christ, there in our heart. And so he says in verse 12, any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So the fire that's being talked here is not a purging fire, but a trying fire to see what your works are. And remember, he said you're going to build on the foundation of Christ, wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, when you apply fire to gold, silver, and precious stones, it either becomes purified or more beautiful. When you apply fire to wood, hay, and stubble, it burns up, okay? And so that's where he says in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. See, it's not salvation. This is a reward for faithful service. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So they're already going to heaven. They have the foundation of Jesus Christ. But we're talking about your life's work. Are you building with wood, hay, and stubble? And if so, that would be like if I did this program just so people would come up to me and say, oh, Pastor Al, we really love you, and you're great. If that was the sole reason for me doing this program, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's for self, you know, aggrandization, you know, to make myself look good. And if I was doing this for money and all that sort of stuff, you know, those, that would be my reward right there. That's it. No reward when I get to heaven. That's wood, hay, and stubble. But if I'm doing this program in order to lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to help point people to Christ that need to be saved, to help Christians grow in their walk with the Lord, then I'm building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Mm-hmm. And see, my motivation is going to be tried when I stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. And as a believer, we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a judgment seat for whether or not I get into heaven. This is a judgment seat looking at my works. What did I do and why did I do it? And if I did it for the right reasons, if I did it to glorify God and to be a help to people, then that's gold, silver, and precious stones, that work will abide, and I'll receive a reward. But if I did it for my own purposes, you know, to get money, to get a claim, or something like that, then that's wood, hay, and stubble, that's burned, there's no reward there, because I didn't do it for the right reasons. And that's a good passage to look at. But, you know, the Roman Catholic Church added doctrines over time, and they added some books such as, like I said, 1st and 2nd Maccabees to try and teach some of the and justify some of these doctrines. But I know they took this section out of context. And this is, like I said, this is a trial of your works, your motivation for why you did what you did in your walk with Christ. And this is a good study to look at, a good passage to look at with Catholic family members, if you can get them to sit down and put the whole thing in context.
Yes. Oh, so, thank you.
Yeah.
May I ask you just one other quick question?
Sure.
When we witness to Muslims, sometimes they bring up the thing about the Trinity. Now, I don't believe we believe in three gods, but some Muslim people seem to believe the Christians believe in three gods, and they say, well, you know, we believe in one God, Allah, but you believe in three gods, but we don't believe in three gods. And I've tried to explain about, you know, tri-unity. My husband says, well, it's like an egg. An egg has a shell, a white, and a yolk, but it's one egg, you know. And I don't know if that's a good way to explain it or not, but...
Well,
is there a better way to...
Let me give you a quick way. And in fact, on our website, livewithpastoral.com, there's an article there, and I believe the title's called Understanding the Trinity. And in fact, I had that out at our fair. I put it up in a booklet form and had it out to give away at the fair. I had several people take a copy of it. And I want to apologize to anybody who is watching on Facebook live. For whatever reason, the signal stopped, and I just got that restarted again. But as far as the Trinity goes, I've heard the one about the yolk, and there's a whole bunch of other things, you know, like water. It can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas, and yet it's all water. But the best type of an illustration, I think, is one that comes from the Bible. And when you look in Genesis chapter 1, and this was what I go into in that little article, Understanding the Trinity, in Genesis chapter 1, and verse number 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And what we see happening here is the word Elohim that gives us the word God here. El is a word that has to do with deity, but when you put it together, Elohim, a good way to understand it, it's a plurality wrapped up in one. And let me explain it this way. You know, if you follow sports, whether it's the Cleveland Indians or Boston, who were they playing today? Boston Red Sox, I think it was. White Sox. See how I'm not a sports guy. I knew there was Sox in there somewhere and Boston in there somewhere. I got two out of three. Well, there we go. Chicago. Somebody, I just heard a voice in my ear saying Chicago. I had Sox right, didn't I? Okay. Yeah. SOCKS. No, I know that's SOX, but you can see I don't really follow sports that much. But we understand the concept of a sports team, right? Mm-hmm. A team is one team, but it has many members of that team. So there's a plurality there, but yet it's a singular team.
Oh.
And same with a committee. If you join a committee, there's several members, but one committee. You've got town council. You have a town council, several council members, but it's one council. See, so we have a lot of these words. We understand the concept of a plurality wrapped up in a singularity, if I want to explain it that way, I guess. And that's what Elohim's kind of like. And you see that in Genesis 1, verse 26, the plurality, let us make man in our image. And then the singularity reflected in verse 27, where it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he, them. Now, here's where the picture of the Trinity comes in very effectively. Because remember, God is going to make man in his image. And we see in Genesis chapter 2, and this is why I like this, because it's right in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It says in verse 7, Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, if you notice there's three parts to man. The dust of the ground. He made man of the dust of the ground. He formed him from the dust of the ground. He formed the body of Adam. We have a physical body, and that's us. It's not a separate person. It's us. You know, your body is you. My body is me. And Adam had a body. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And breath and spirit are synonymous often in the language there. And we have a spirit in that body, a spirit of life, a breath of life in that body. And then he became a living soul. I believe the soul is your mind, your intellect, your emotion, your personality, your will. And he became a living soul. Now, think about that. We're an image of God. We understand God, the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of God. Adam had breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, a living spirit. He had a body that was formed. We understand the incarnation, the Christmas story, you know, a virgin conceived and bore a son, Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we have God, the Son, corresponding to the flesh. And that leaves one thing left, God the Father. Mm-hmm. And think about it. Jesus, in his incarnation, said that he did the things that the Father told him to do, said the things the Father told him to say. And that's a great picture, because who should be calling the shots here, our flesh or our mind? You know, we should keep the flesh, like Paul said, in subjection.
Mm-hmm.
And so with our mind, we make decisions. I was sharing previously about Romans chapter 7, the law of the mind that, you know, was caught in a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. And we get in trouble and we get mad at somebody. We do things and we say we shouldn't have done it. And we say what? I got in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, because the flesh is calling the shots rather than us telling the flesh what to do. And Jesus gave a perfect example of that. God the Son. He was God manifest in the flesh, and he looked to the Father for what he was to say and do.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, he was led by the Spirit, just like mm-hmm. we should be. So, you know, each human being is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you're one person. You're not three separate people. You're one person, but you're distinctly a body, a soul, and a spirit. Well, God is one God, but he's distinctly the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, not three separate gods. He's one God, but he's made up, composed of the Holy Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, just like you're one person, mm-hmm. but you're composed of your human Trinity, I guess you can say,
yeah.
of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Oh, and I think that corresponds. We're in the image of God right there.
Oh, that's great. Now, do you think Muslims believe in the spirit?
I don't think they believe it in the same way that we do.
But they believe that humans have a spirit?
I believe so, yeah, a spirit that in it lives in the body. But they have some differences when we get into, you know, some of their teachings on the spirit and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, thank you for sharing that. That's a great way to do it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you bringing up the questions.
Oh, God bless
and,
you.
And keep thank
up
you.
The good work, brother.
Thank you. I hope you'll call back again sometime.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our next caller, I'm trying to see, I think Daryl has been waiting the longest. We've got Daryl calling from Tampa, Florida. Daryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al, calling from rainy, hot Tampa, Florida.
You know, I have to say, we have had the best weather here the last couple of days. Not too hot, not too humid. It's been nice.
Okay. But I think real quickly for the,
yes, sir.
For the young lady about the triunity of
mm-hmm.
God. Look at it also like this, the pretzel with the three holes. You have God the Father in one, Jesus in the other, and then you have the Holy Spirit, but it's made up of one pretzel,
yeah.
one in intent, one in direction,
right.
one in unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the triunity of God. But my question is to the question that you posed
uh-huh.
about there are three things that are immutable about God. That's the big fancy word about that God can't lie, God is holy, and God's word. Now, the Bible talks about that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Now, back in Genesis, it talks about that God looked upon the wickedness of man during the time of Noah, and that it repented him.
Right.
He made man. Makes it sound like it's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, you're right, and it's good to bring that out.
I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll kind of try to hit this kind of quick. Got a couple more callers waiting for us. But The idea is, as I said, God does not change his basic nature. Now, he will sometimes change how he works in the world and does things. For instance, in the Old Testament, he worked in the world through the Jewish people. He called out the Jews as a nation, and he worked through them. But now he's working in the world through the Christians, and again, in the future, during the tribulation time, he'll work through the Jewish people again. And so he changes things that he does. He changes some of his procedures from time to time, but the basic idea of salvation, you know, recognizing that we've sinned and come short of God's glory and turning to him for forgiveness, and I know I'm hurrying here, those principles are still there. God cannot change in his basic nature. Sin still has a cost. Sin still has a price that needs to be paid in order for us to go to heaven. And in the case that our caller was there, that Daryl was talking about, where God it repented God that he made man, and he decided to wipe out humanity. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he instructed Noah to build the ark. And so there was a change in what God decided to do. He created man, and man's heart was so evil, and the world was becoming so wicked and vile that he said, I am no longer going to allow this to continue. So he had a change of direction in what he was doing with humanity. He had sent prophets. Enoch was a prophet. I believe Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so he had these people that he used, and they would not respond. And so God changed how he was going to deal with the world. And he decided he would have a clean slate, start with Noah and his family. So that's kind of where that change is coming from. But God never changed in his abhorrence of sin. God never changed in his recognition that sin has a price and it needs to be paid. And so I appreciate Daryl for bringing that up. I know we kind of hurried through that a little bit, but got the time fast running out here tonight. And I want to jump to Frank in West Virginia here tonight. And Frank, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Thanks for holding on.
It's always a joy to listen to your show. I'll keep it brief. I'm going to cut it in half, this comment question. One thing you mentioned about the Catholics and their view of your question on the Son, I found that there's two points. One, that I'm a former Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and I got saved as a teenager. Basically, I also carry will listen to the Catholic radio, and you'll get these Catholic apologists that call in. The other day, they mentioned that us, who they call Protestants, I know Baptists aren't Protestants, but and they actually think we're a cult, to be honest with you, if you nail them down.
That's
They say that we believe in imputed righteousness, and which is true, we do. I believe there's a difference between imputed righteousness, as you teach, as well as the experiential righteousness, which somebody will, like in a filling of the Spirit, in which somebody goes about their day and walking with the Lord. Now, that said, they don't believe in imputed righteousness. That's something they made a very big distinction about. And so one of your points on the three immutable things that God can't do, I think that's the point that they're coming from, that you cannot somehow have Jesus give you his righteousness as a gift. It has to be earned according to them.
Right, right. And that gets into work salvation. I kind of have to cut you short there, Frank, because we're wrapping up there real quick. And let me just give you that verse in Romans chapter 3, I won't have time to read it, but verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. That's imputed righteousness right there. But Frank, thanks for bringing that up. I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank our listeners for listening tonight. We're out of time. Join us next time. God bless and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.